Hi, I'm Natalie Nowak, and you're listening to On My Way to a BFA. In this episode, I'm going to tell you all about my first semester at the Hart School, and I will also be talking to two of my fellow classmates about their experiences in a BFA program thus far. Before we jump into the episode, I want to take a minute to thank everyone who tuned into episode 1. I received an overwhelming amount of feedback from all of you on Twitter, Facebook, and from my classmates and professors here at Hart. I am so grateful to have such a wonderful support system. Now, on to the episode. I really enjoyed my first semester at Hart. Of course, as you heard in the previous episode, I was super nervous to start school. I had so many expectations as to what my classes and life at college would be like. The day before school officially started, we had the Hart School Theater Division liftoff. This was an event where all of the Hart Theater students, freshman through senior, gathered in one of the theaters at the Performing Arts Center. As the freshmen walked in, we were each handed a dollar bill. We had no idea why this was happening, but we were happy to be a dollar richer. When we sat down, we were greeted by Alan Rust, the director of the theater division. He told us to keep our dollars for the next 4 years and to bring them to our graduation ceremony in 2020. He said that if we decided to leave school before the 4 years is up, for any reason other than actually booking a Broadway or tour gig, we should use that dollar bill to buy a lottery ticket. Because winning the lottery is rare, just like our chances of booking a job that will financially support us if we forgo this wonderfully intense 4-year BFA training. Now, keep in mind that there are plenty of people who did not go to college at all and booked Broadway shows and are very successful. However, in this case, the room we were in was filled with dozens of young people who were all set on getting their BFAs. So when Alan used the metaphor of the lottery, we really understood the value of our training and how lucky we were to have this opportunity. And with that, my first semester had begun. One of my favorite parts of the semester was definitely my weekly voice lessons. My voice teacher is Larry Rakin, most recognizable for his roles in the Broadway productions of Woman of the Year, Big River, and the star-studded 2001 revival of Follies. Larry is a fantastic teacher, and he makes great suggestions for material I should work on, and he also lets me bring in songs that I want to try. I've enjoyed exploring what my voice can do, and I love that I'm encouraged to sing so many different styles of music. Before I started school this year, my main concern was that I would be put into a box and I would be labeled as only being able to sing one specific style. I'm so happy that this is not the case, and I can explore styles that I'm less comfortable with. I've found that my voice can do more than I thought it could do, which has been pretty cool. I think that all the voice teachers at Hart do a great job of coaching their students to be able to sing everything, which makes us vocally versatile. There are several vocal instructors at Hart, and each one holds a masterclass every week. For example, Larry currently teaches students from all grade levels, 16 students in total, and in addition to our weekly private voice lessons, we all meet as a group once per week for masterclass, where we sing the material we've been working on. We then get feedback for what we did well and suggestions for things we could do differently next time. I'm really glad that as freshmen, we have the sophomores, juniors, and seniors in our masterclass as well, as opposed to it just being a group of freshmen, because when I hear the seniors sing, I can tell how hard they've worked to achieve the amazing voices that they have, and that's very encouraging for me. Being in a class with advanced singers challenges me to improve, and I'm very grateful to have the opportunity to sing in front of people each week because it pushes me way outside my comfort zone and ultimately allows me to grow. Now, any of my classmates who are listening to this can probably guess what my other favorite part of last semester was. All freshmen are required to take wardrobe and makeup classes in order to prepare us for our crew assignments and future productions. But these makeup classes were not just normal weekly classes. We got to take 4 3-hour makeup masterclasses from the one and only Joe DeLude II. Joe designed the makeup for the Broadway productions of Grease, Follies, Jekyll and Hyde, If Then, Anastasia, Beautiful the Carole King musical, and my all-time favorite, Wicked, and many more. These makeup masterclasses were so cool. First, we learned how to contour and highlight for our individual face shape and structure. Then we learned how to do old age makeup. It was incredible how much we all looked like our grandparents at the end of the 3 hours. Next, we learned about 1920s, 30s, 40s, and 50s makeup styles, which was so fun. On the last day of the masterclass, we did scars, cuts, and bruises. Each day, Joe did a demonstration of the makeup either on himself or on one of us, and he used me as the demonstration for the 1950s makeup style, which was definitely a bucket list item. Now I can say that Joe DeLude has done my makeup, and I am such a nerd about all of this, but it's the coolest thing. Anyways, then Joe walked around to each one of us while we were working to check in and see how we were progressing. I've always loved makeup, and I valued these masterclasses so much because I think it's amazing how makeup not only transforms the look of a person, but can actually make you feel different inside. It is such an art, and it was incredible to learn from Joe DeLude. So now I'm gonna throw in a story that has nothing to do with getting your BFA, but I think it's a funny story from last semester, so I'm gonna tell it to you. On 7 separate occasions, last semester, at about 1 or 2 a.m., the fire alarm went off. Now this is 7 times throughout the whole semester. They only do fire drills during the day, so I knew that this was the first couple times I thought they were real fires. But then I quickly realized that people just thought it was funny to pull the fire alarm at 2 a.m. Now keep in mind that I had 8:30 a.m. classes every day last semester because that's what you do in a BFA program. You get up and you go to acting at 8:30 or ballet at 8:30, and it's great, but it's not so great when you have to wake up at 2 a.m. and stand outside for a half an hour in the freezing cold because someone thought it was funny to pull the fire alarm. So I would try to go to bed pretty early, and once the fire alarm was pulled, probably about 5 times, then I was like, okay, now I need to go to bed even earlier just in case the fire alarm gets pulled tonight, because I would never know when it was gonna happen. But there was never actually a fire, so that is good, and I'm trying to look back on it and laugh, although it was not funny at the time. At the beginning of this episode, I mentioned that I'm going to interview two of my fellow classmates, Sarah Milnemo and Matthew Karp. They are both freshman musical theater majors, and I thought it would be great to have them on the podcast because they're both very articulate and have become really great friends of mine over the past few months that we've been in school. So I thought it would be nice for you to hear their perspective, just so you can see how different people with different personalities are handling the craziness of a BFA musical theater program.
Hi, my name is Sarah Milnemo, and I am a freshman musical theater major at the Hart School.
Hi, my name is Matthew Karp, and I am a freshman musical theater major at Hart.
I'd like to start this interview by talking a little bit about your background. So I'm wondering if you always knew that you wanted to do theater.
I kind of took up a late interest in it because it started, 6th grade, Alice in Wonderland Junior in middle school. Mm-hmm. My best friend, and she's still my best friend now, was always into doing shows and theatrical things and dance. And so I said, I want to do that, because I want to hang out with her more, and it looks fun. So I did, and I got the ensemble, and then the next year, I wanted to get a lead, and I got a lead, and then ever since then, I have been doing theater ever since then, and I haven't been able to stop.
I didn't really know that I wanted to do theater all my life, but I guess you could say I got my start in elementary school. I joined the choir because that's sort of what everybody did. Everybody was in the choir or the band, and I was actually in both, but I particularly enjoyed my time in the choir, and all of the choir members sort of auditioned for the elementary school musical. It was very, very low key, mm-hmm. a bunch of little kids on the stage, much more about being cute than actually putting on a decent musical. But I did audition, and my very first part in 4th grade, I was a newspaper boy in Annie. I had no lines. I didn't even get to walk on the stage. It was very sad.
My first show was Annie too.
Are you serious?
Yeah, but I was an orphan.
Okay, so
that's
awesome.
I didn't have any lines either.
That's amazing.
I was just so into it.
You and me. That's awesome.
That was a high five if you couldn't.
Yes, I love high fives.
I didn't really admit to myself that I wanted to do it as a career because it was sort of taboo. It still sort of is because so many of the people around me were wanting to study engineering and become doctors and lawyers. Yeah. But it was sort of freshman year of high school. I was really, really fortunate to have this incredible drama teacher who saw that little spark of passion that I had for performing. And he took me under his wing. And I remember the first show he cast me in was Our Town. And I played Emily Webb. And I mean, I know that's a show that a lot of high schools do, but the words of Thornton Wilder and the truths that he spoke about life and apparently the way that myself and the cast members were able to deliver it, people came up after us and were crying and were so touched by our work. And that was when I sort of realized, like, oh my gosh, theater can have an impact on people, and in turn, people can then be nice to other people and change the world. And ever since then, I sort of had this view that it's more than just something that's for me, because it always will be something that's very therapeutic and a wonderful release for me, but it emanates to other people on a level that is, it's intangible.
The following year, we did Mary Poppins, and I auditioned again, and I got Bert, who is the lead of Mary Poppins, and that was just an incredibly fun experience. So from then on, I sort of just auditioned for as many shows as I could and got involved in middle school and then high school, and it sort of became something that I couldn't live without, so I decided to pursue.
That's great. Are your parents supportive of your decision to pursue musical theater in college?
Oh, yeah. My parents are my biggest fans. My mom is your classic, like, New Yorker, this Jewish mother who loves
you
me very
best,
much.
You do the best, Sarah does the best impression of her. She'll just, like, come to lunch, she'll be like, oh my gosh, ladies.
Yeah. No, she really is, and I love her with all my heart, and I, and my dad, too. But it's almost as if, like, when I started getting college acceptances or whenever I get a role, she's like, oh, Sarah, we got the role.
It's oh, like, my gosh, we...
But it's not as if, it's not like stage mommy wee, but like she, my grandma always loved to sing and perform, but she never really got the chance to pursue it. And so my mom sees a lot of my grandma and me, and yeah, I guess that's sort of where she kind of breathes that passion with me. And so yeah, my parents are amazing. They believe in me. They see how hard I'm working. And even when I start to get down on myself, like, oh gosh, I didn't do so well in class, or oh man, I think I really bombed this audition. I was just on the phone with my mom the other day. She says, well, Sarah, you know you gotta keep going, right? And I'm just like, yes, Mom, true. I know, I have to keep going. So yeah, I'm so incredibly lucky to have them, because I know that not everyone does.
My parents are definitely super, super supportive, and that's something that I'm super lucky to have, because lots of kids unfortunately don't. And everybody knows that musical theater and acting in general and performance in general is not the most job safe career. Mm-hmm. It's not the most practical industry in terms of, you know, like I said, job security and pay and all that stuff. And I'm lucky, like I said, to have parents that are really supportive. When I told them that I wanted to go to college for musical theater, they were on my side. They just didn't know too much about what that really meant. Yeah. You know, what a career in musical theater looks like, how you can get on Broadway. There's the whole age-old dispute over how you get your equity card. Yeah. You have to get it by going on Broadway, but you can't get on Broadway without getting it. It's super confusing. So there was just a lot of confusion, but we had a few sit-down discussions about, you know, what that meant to me and how much musical theater meant to me and how it was the only thing I could see myself doing. And after a few short discussions, they were very prepared to support me through my musical theater college journey and beyond, after into my career, which I haven't experienced yet, but I'm sure I'll have their support once I graduate, which is really awesome.
Definitely.
To have.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I feel very grateful to have parents who support me, because I can only imagine how difficult it would be doing what I love every day here at college, but knowing in the back of my mind that I didn't have that full support at home,
of
I
course.
Feel like would be difficult.
Of and, course. Our work and what we do, it is so demanding and on so many different levels, physically, emotionally, mentally, and having that support system at home, knowing that there are people to go back home to who love you and who are cheering you on every step of the way is... It makes it so much easier to do all of your work to the fullest.
Yeah. What has been your most difficult obstacle to overcome in any of your classes, or just something that you have struggled with and learned how to work through in more of the educational setting?
I think that everything that I sort of learned in high school and my work ethic in high school actually kind of inhibited me once I came here, because in high school I was very analytical, I thought a lot, I worked really hard, and I got good grades, and so it working really hard yielded the result that I wanted. But once I got here, I realized that sometimes working too hard could actually work in the opposite regard,
yeah,
and hinder you, because this type of work, you need to be relaxed and open and available. So I guess it's still a process. I've only had, a semester and a half of yeah, doing this?
Yeah.
So I'm still overcoming it, but just having the realization that it's okay to be relaxed and it's okay to let things happen, and I guess it's been hard sort of learning to let those initial impulses come in whatever I'm doing, singing, acting, and just sort of let them be and let them sort of resonate and take shape rather than trying to change them, mm-hmm, or manipulate them to go in a certain direction that I have planned.
Yeah.
And let myself be open to surprise, because yeah, I love planning everything out.
Oh, me too. Yes, that was exactly me. And in high school, it's so ingrained in, I think, the majority of students, mm-hmm, that, like, you study for your test, you prepare for it, you memorize everything, you do as much as you can, and then you go in and you get a good grade, and then that's what, you just keep building on that. And then when we got to college, it's kind of like, just forget about that, because it's what happens here. And I remember Diana, our, mm-hmm, acting teacher, we're working on Viewpoints right now, and she kind of said at the beginning of the semester, like, there's only so much prep work you can do. Obviously, right, memorize your lines, analyze your characters, do all that, you know, all those things that we know how to do. But then when you get in the room, it's like you kind of have to let some of that, you know, analyzing go and just see what happens. And
yeah,
it's difficult, definitely. Yeah.
To just be in the moment, honestly. That's the greatest gift you can give yourself. And obviously an audience.
For me, the most difficult part about, you know, being in college and getting all of your work done probably is time management. It was definitely a super big challenge at the beginning because, you know, you're not used to having classes. One might be at 8:30, but then one might be at 11, and one might be at 2, and you have gaps in between that sometimes you go back to your dorm, and sometimes you go get food in the dining hall, and sometimes, you know, you do all these random things. And so it can be hard to make sure that you have enough time to do all of the work. And that was something that I struggled with a bit at the beginning, because I didn't actively plan out times to do my work and to practice for classes like ear training and my music for in my rep book. And
Oh, ear training.
Oh my gosh. Ear training, the bane of my existence.
I could do another separate podcast on ear training.
You could.
I don't want to, though.
Yeah.
But I have that much to say about ear training.
You know what? Everybody has a lot to say about ear training. But like I said, it can be difficult when you aren't planning that much ahead to get all of your work done. And so how I've sort of tried my best to overcome that is really sitting down weekly, whether it's once a week or once every few days, and really thinking ahead over the next few days about what free time you're going to have and how you can use that so it's the most efficient for you. Because, you know, you have bouts of free time and then you continuously say, I'll do that later. And then all of a sudden you don't have any more free time because you have to go to bed or because, mm-hmm, you have classes all day the next day. And so you really need to make sure that you're using that free time well. That was probably the most difficult part for me. But I think that I have a better handle on it now in terms of scheduling what time I get, yeah, on the shuttle, with when I can go to a practice room, with when I can grab food and all that stuff. It just takes, yeah, some getting used to.
And I think also, you know, adjusting to first semester, like adjusting to college alone can be difficult.
It's
so
huge.
And then on top of that, learning how to manage your time when it's not in the schedule that you're used to in high school, where it's like, okay, I start at 8:30 and I have classes all the way through, because it's more difficult to manage your time when you have little gaps in between.
Of course.
Because sometimes it's like, okay, I don't have enough time to go and practice all the songs I need to practice, but I need to do this homework assignment. How, mm-hmm, do I fit that in?
Totally.
So it's difficult.
It's very difficult.
But once you figure it out, it's a very valuable skill to have.
Once you figure it out, it is super valuable because, you know, that's the rest of your life. You never know what is going to happen during any given day. And so you want to make sure that you're always prepared and that you always have time planned to do all of the work that you need to get done.
Yeah. Speaking more about adjusting to college, what has been your biggest adjustment living away from home? And was it difficult? Even though you live fairly close, was it still difficult to be away from your family at first?
I think the initial excitement of college and getting here and having this instant group of individuals who were all in my major and all followed me and everything I did throughout the day sort of softened the blow a lot. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I was doing what I would like save to do after I did all my homework and everything. Yeah. And I was doing that all day long. So I was sort of like in a honeymoon phase with college.
Yeah.
So it actually wasn't hard at all. I found second semester, now that I've sort of grounded myself and I've been home for a month and I've reconnected with my family and I've, you know, obviously realized the importance of having that connection and just being a person first and foremost, I find that now it's harder because I'm like, oh man, I'm still doing what I love and I'm so happy here, but I was reminded of how much I love them and how much I love my friends back home. So it's hard, but I also know that they'll always be there, the yeah. people who truly, truly matter.
Yeah, it was definitely difficult. I love my family so much. I miss them every day. And it was definitely a big adjustment. You know, you hear people go to college and they love it or they hate it. But what they don't really talk about a lot is the transition. And whether or not you love it the first day, it still takes a decent amount of time to fully transition to a college lifestyle. And that's no one's fault. That's just because you're sleeping in a new bed, in a new room, you're eating new food in a new place. And you know, that's a part of going to college. You know, people say that you haven't truly been to college until you've gotten sick at least once. And your first time being sick away from home is an experience.
It is an experience.
It's really, it can be terrible, but yeah. you have to power through it. And you have to, you know, continuously reassure yourself that you're doing what you love. Like in our case, musical theater. And like I said before, I really did miss my family. And one of the hardest parts about adjusting was being away. I was really homesick in the beginning. And that wasn't because I wasn't comfortable here, and it wasn't because I didn't love musical theater and I didn't love my classes, but it was just because I was so used to having my family all around me at all times. I was so used to coming home and seeing my two brothers and seeing my mom and seeing my dad when they got home from work. And you sort of take advantage of that because then all of a sudden you come here and you don't get to see them for another, you know, yeah. month and a half.
And you realize how valuable that was.
You realize how valuable that time is. And it's awesome. So that was definitely one of the biggest transitions for me that was hard. But the way I got through it was continuously reassuring myself that, you know, I'm here doing what I love and that they're supporting me and that FaceTime is like the best thing in the world.
Yeah, if anybody is listening to this who's in high school or you're going to college to study anything, FaceTime
it's
is
the
one
greatest
of the greatest
things.
Gifts. Or Skype or whatever.
Or whatever you use. It is awesome because it really makes you feel like you're there. And even if you just catch up with your mom or your sister or your brother or your boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever, even if you just catch up for like 5 minutes, it yeah. can totally turn your day around.
It's so different seeing their faces instead of just talking oh, to yeah. them on the phone. Now, I'd like to hear about a moment when you felt particularly proud of yourself in one of your heart classes.
I'd say that I was probably most proud recently this semester when we had a moment in acting class when we were doing flow work, which is when we all sort of walk around the room and the goal is to be kinesthetically aware and responsive to others as well as whatever architecture might be in the room. And I remember we stopped and after, I think it was something that Diana said, like, look up, just listen. Something very, very simple, just along those lines. And then I did. I just sort of listened and I kind of allowed myself to not think and just sort of respond as things came to me and went away from me. And I realized that I can still be aware and acknowledging of others while still trying to achieve my objective and, you know, succumb to those physical impulses. But it doesn't have to be hard to achieve the success that I want. And that sort of translated to everything. Like, wow, I'm very intense. I work very hard. And sometimes I take a very complicated pathway that just isn't necessary.
When you could just, like, go from point A to right. point B. I do that, too, instead of going from A to, you know, F yeah. to C to whatever.
Yeah. yeah. But I guess in that moment, it was so literal because it was just walking yeah. around a room and physical and tangible that I was like, oh my gosh, like all of my work can be this easy because I know how to do it. I just have to let myself be mm-hmm. and sort of let the work happen.
Yeah, I think it's great that you're proud of yourself for doing that because I think for those of us who are I guess, a little more type A and kind of work really hard at things, it's easy to not be proud of ourselves for the little things because we want to achieve the big goals, and it's like, just forget about all the little progress that we're making along the way.
Right.
So it's like, it's good to stop and be like, you know what? I did that, and that's really good, and I'm proud of myself.
You know, they say that hard work pays off, and everybody says that, and it means different things to many people, but it's really true for kids like us who are studying musical theater. And we, every single week, have the opportunity to perform in a masterclass with our voice teachers and our peers to perform songs that we would potentially use for auditions. And I was performing a song entitled Oklahoma by Billy Gilman, who's a country singer who was recently on The Voice. I've known this song for a really long time, and it has a really special place in my heart because it means there's a lot in it that talks about family and that talks about love and that talks about, you know, finding your way home. And I decided to perform it because we were doing a country themed week, and I made my voice teacher cry when I performed it.
You did?
There are a lot of lyrics in the song. It tells a story of a father and a son who were separated, and the father made some bad decisions, and the son was adopted by other people, and my voice teacher happens to have an adopted son. And so for her, it hit her on a new level that she didn't really think was gonna happen, and she cried, and afterwards we had a nice chat about it. And it was really gratifying to know that, you know, like I said before, the hard work that I was putting in to my art and my craft really was paying off, in the sense that I was helping people, you know, feel things, because that's what we're doing. We're storytellers. And the fact that through my music and my singing and my acting in just a random classroom with a random, you know, random song, random day, the fact that I got to experience something like that so early, a moment of catharsis for an audience member, was really, really gratifying. And it made me feel like I was in the right direction.
Yeah, especially when it was your voice teacher, who's someone I'm sure you look up to.
And totally.
Who, you know, her opinion matters.
Totally.
So I think that's really cool.
Thank you.
Now I want to move into the future and talk about some of your career goals. Now, I know we're just freshmen, so this might change. But I would love to know some things that you believe in the future you would feel satisfied if you accomplished.
I think that this is a pretty popular answer, but as long as I have a constant stream of work performing, making meaningful theater and thought-provoking theater that affects people, I feel as though I'm satisfying that itch and I'm fulfilling what I came here to do and beyond. But I can also see my life going in a ton of different directions. You know, I've always had an interest in piano, and I'm going to try to take up violin this summer, so I might try to maybe be a coach for people when I'm in the city and doing survival jobs. But as long as I'm doing what I love well and for people who are receptive and want to create change, I think that I can be satisfied with my career if that happens.
A major career goal for me is to have a career. I'm not sure who exactly is listening, but if you know anything about musical theater, one of the things that you definitely do know, like we were saying before, is that careers are not the safest thing. They can be very sporadic. They can be super active for a couple years, then super quiet for a couple more years. And for me, a definite goal is to steadily have jobs and to steadily be able to support myself doing what I love. And I'm not against, you know, having to wait tables for a while, because that's a part of our life. But I definitely would love to be able to work in general. Some specific goals, though, I would really like to work on a cruise line at some point in my life. Yeah.
You want to get seasick?
Okay, I don't get seasick.
You don't.
I love the ocean. New Jersey has an ocean, by the way.
Oh, my
New
goodness.
Jersey Shore, best place on earth.
Oh, my gosh.
And not like Jersey Shore.
I feel like I should start talking about Chicago a little more, because
I never thought
about it.
Chicago rocks. I've never been there. I wish I had.
My cousin lives
in Chicago.
We'll record an interview from Chicago.
Yes.
So come visit me.
Let's do
over
that.
Over the summer.
Yes. We are doing that. Okay. Anyway, like I was saying, cruise lines, you would never really think of a musical theater student or an acting student, you know, having a good opportunity on a cruise line, because cruise lines don't really seem like it, but they can actually prove to be really, really awesome jobs for performers, specifically musical theater performers and dancers, because, you know, there are tons and tons of cruise lines and cruise ships out there, and a lot of them have sorts of, you know, shows that they put on for their guests every single night, and it can be a super long it can be a long, like, long...
And because you just live there.
Yeah, you live on the cruise ship.
I mean, there's no way. Exactly. There's no way off the cruise ship.
There's no way off the cruise ship, unfortunately, unless you make stops. Yeah. But it's a super long-term contract. Usually they're, like 8 to 10 months, which sounds kind of crazy, but is a pretty long-paying job, which rocks. The money is pretty awesome, and you get to perform every single night. And the greatest thing about it, too, is that a lot of your expenses are paid, like your living, your food, your medical. And so during that time, I hear that a lot of musical theater performers like to save up money so that they can move to New York or move to Chicago or move to a big city to try and get other work. And so that sounds like a really, really awesome opportunity. And I would love to have that be a part of my career.
What is your ultimate dream role or dream show or just anything that you would like to do specifically one day?
Well, I am...
Because if it happens, I want it to be documented on here first.
Yes. Yes. This is where it all began.
Yep.
We will have a record of it forever. I would say that I guess any show that Kelly O'Hara has been in.
Yes.
Because I have a legit sort of golden age voice, I've been told. I'm just trying to think of shows off the bat. Louisa and the Fantastics, Light in the Piazza, Bridges. And then, of course, okay, well, I love Disney growing up, so I kind of want to be Belle or Ariel, just because, I don't know, I, you know, children's theater is another thing that I've kind of seen my life going towards, and I just feel like that would be really special.
Huh. For me, you know, it's kind of mainstream, it's kind of cliche, but I would love more than anything to be a newsie. I love the show Newsies. I have watched every single YouTube video that exists. I actually have never seen the show in real life.
Did you see the movie?
But I did see the movie, actually. Yeah. It rocked. I really enjoyed that, which only heightened my desire to be a newsie.
Yeah.
But I love the idea of ensemble singing and ensemble dancing and that incredible experience it is to watch, you know, a group of, in this case, all men, dancing their hearts out, whether they're tapping on tables or they're leaping into the air or doing a thousand pirouettes or jumping on newspaper. I just think that it's such a spectacle and it's so something that I want to be a part of. So being an ensemble member of Newsies would be a dream come true for me.
Sarah, why don't you plug any social media that you want to plug on here? This is your chance.
All right, so I'm an old lady, so I have Snapchat and Facebook, but seriously, I had so much trouble with this process and I felt so lost and like the college process.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Not just like life. Not,
yeah.
You're good at life. That's a good, yeah.
Arguably. but yes, if anybody has any questions about heart or going into theater, my name is Sarah Milnemo on Facebook. I don't know if you put my full name.
Yeah, it'll be, everything will be in the show notes.
My Instagram is just my name, Matthew Carp, 2 T's, and then my last name is C-A-R-P. And yeah, I don't have a Twitter, so that's it.
Thanks for this interview today.
Thank you.
Yeah, I am literally so excited that I got to be a part of it. I think it's so incredible.
Yay, thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of On My Way to a BFA. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at Natalie_Nowak and at Broadway Radio for updates and tweet me with any feedback or questions.